online.
Amen, somebody. God is a God that uses every situation to bring glory to himself.
Amen.
The devil cannot stop us from worshiping.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. So whether we are home or we are here in the church, you are welcome to the presence of the Lord this morning. And I have no doubt that wherever you are, the Lord himself will meet you, he will touch you, and he will turn your story around for good. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We bless the name of the Lord again and again and again, because it is he that has kept us through this pandemic. And we are all here. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. We bless his name. We bless his name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God because all that has happened, he has kept us. And I know that he kept us for a reason. And therefore, we'll continue to serve, we'll continue to glorify his name. Amen?
Amen.
We'll bless the name of the Lord because his presence is here. And as we continue to serve, as we continue to worship, as we continue to fellowship, let us continue to enjoy the social distance. Amen? And let's continue to enjoy the hand sanitizing and the elbow hugs, you know, and all of those interesting things we are calling the new normal now. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But we know that God is here. That is what is most important.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, everything that we can do, humanly speaking, we will keep doing it. The church has been professionally cleaned all the way from up, downstairs, and every place, humanly speaking, is clean. And we're going to continue to do everything that we need to do to follow the guidelines. But above all, it is our God who is our healer. He is the one who is our keeper.
Yes.
Somebody put your hands together and bless his name. So I want to welcome those of you who might be watching with us for the first time, either online or in the house. You are very welcome to the presence of the Lord this morning. And we ask that as you continue to fellowship, that you open your heart to the word of God, open your heart to the spirit of God, that the Lord God himself will meet you at every point of need. I would like for you to let us know and give us your information so that we can stay in contact with you, because we want to be a part of your spiritual journey. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Before we delve in, I want to especially, I was waiting for Rohan and Maya to give a loud shout, but let me do it for them. This is their wedding anniversary. Somebody put hands together. Amen. I think this time, how many years ago was it? 10 years ago? 20 years ago? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. God has kept them together, and I know they're enjoying the relationship. Amen.
Amen.
And it's only going to get better. Come on, somebody. I say it's only going to get better. So you can send us all the cakes on Zoom, all right? So we need all the cake and all that. Praise God. Amen. I am an overcomer, and everybody says,
I am redeemed to overcome. I am born of God. Therefore, I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Come to somebody next to you or come to somebody online and say, good morning, overcomer.
Good morning.
Those of you online, you can wave, all right? Good morning, overcomer. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to continue this morning with our theme. We're looking at the God who remembers and delivers. That's what we're looking at for the month of July. And last Sunday, when we began the discussion, we emphasized the fact that looking at the scripture and knowing who God is, God cannot forget. Amen. God has never forgotten you. But the scripture uses that language because the translators were not able to use the language that captures the meaning of what is intended for. So they speak of God in the language of man. And I told you that theologians call that anthropomorphism. Want to try that with me? Anthropomorphism. See, you didn't so have. All right, so when you speak of deity, when you speak of the spiritual in the language of men, you know, theologians have all these big words, that's how they call it. But the real intent is for us to understand that God does not forget. But the scripture says, like I told you last week, that he has inscribed us in the palm of his hand. And he asked the question, can a woman forget a sucking child? And he said, even if a woman does forget, he said, I will not forget you. Amen, somebody. Tell your neighbor, God has not forgotten me. Okay, say, God will never forget me. Especially when you are in a relationship with God, God will not and God cannot forget you. Amen, somebody. Now, today we're looking at our subject number 2, and this is titled, The Power in the Covenant to Deliver. That was said of me, the power in the covenant to deliver. There is power in the covenant. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help us begin to understand the covenant, the power that is in it, and the blessing that that holds for you and I. Amen, somebody. What am I getting to delve into it? Let me give you a pop quiz. And here's the quiz. A covenant and a promise are the same. True or false? If you say true, let me see your hand up. If you say false, let me see your hand up. Wow, all right, put your hands together for yourself. Great. Yes, a covenant and a promise, they are very close, but there is a difference. And we're going to be working on that this morning. So quickly here, let's begin to answer the question. Our question number 1, what is a covenant? You all have your notes. I hope you didn't forget your pens. It's important that we write so that we're able to follow and also go over them and share with people when you have a chance. It's important that we use our notes as our witnessing tool. I've always encouraged you to form groups, you know, to have a prayer partner, to have a friend on the job, or somebody somewhere that you meet with. And say, you know what, here's what I learned in church. Let me share with you. Amen, somebody. That's a very great way of witnessing. And that's why we give you notes. Excuse me. Those of you online, of course, you can make your own notes. What is a covenant? You see, when the Bible speaks of a covenant, it is referring to a strong, solemn agreement between two parties. Everybody say strong. And solemn agreement between two parties. Two parties here could mean two people. It could mean one person with a group of people. It could mean one group here and one group here. But a covenant begins by two people. It is strong and it's a solemn agreement. And here's the answer to the pop quiz, which is question number 2. What is the difference or the relationship between a covenant and a promise? A covenant, like I said before, is made between two people. But more importantly, when you make a covenant, it makes or brings two people into one. A covenant brings two people into one. It combines them. It joins their effort. It joins their intent. A covenant lays more emphasis on relationship. So here's the core difference. A covenant is designed to enhance and improve and empower people in relationship. A promise is a pledge to help, a pledge to give, a pledge to support. For example, if I promise you I was going to give you $200 and I have $100,000, now do you have access to my $100,000? How much do you have access to? Because that's what I promised you. But if we're in a covenant relationship, like you know, for example, marriage is a covenant relationship. Your covenant relationship gives you access to everything that your covenant partner has. I know somebody's getting that.
Amen.
So when you enter into a relationship that is based on promise, There is a limit to the access that you have. But when you enter into a relationship that is a covenant relationship, everything the person has, you have access to it. I wish somebody is getting this. So when you go into a covenant with the Almighty God, that means that everything that God has access to, potentially, you have access to it. So a covenant is richer, a covenant is stronger, a covenant is more powerful than a promise. Of course, there are some promises that include relationship, friendship. You can be somebody's friend. I promise to be your friend. I promise to be your, you know, business partner and all of that stuff. But there are rules that guide that. So we finish business, you go your way, I go my way. Amen, somebody. So understand, friends, that the relationship that we have with God is more than a promise. It is a covenant relationship. I'm hoping that as we continue in our spiritual growth, especially in this season, as we continue to mature in the depth of our relationship, that we begin to tap into the covenant component of our relationship. It will enhance your prayer life. It will enhance how you live. It will enhance your thoughts, because you now know there is something stronger, better, and richer that is available to you. Somebody shout aloud, amen. Now, in the scripture, there are two major words that are used for covenant. All right? So let's do a little study here. What did I say? Two major words that are used for covenant in the Bible. Covenant, the word covenant occurs about 316 times in the Bible. Beginning from the Old Testament, all the way to the New Testament, about 316 times. And altogether, there are about 295 verses in the scripture that use the word covenant. But here is the word. Mostly in the Old Testament, the word that is used for covenant is the word berith. I want to say berith.
Berith.
Yeah, you're doing well. It's B-E-R-I-T-H. All right? So that's the word that is used in the Old Testament for covenant. And berith speaks of, are you listening to me now?
Yeah.
I said berith speaks of covenant, alliance, pledge, a treaty, or an agreement, a solemn consummated agreement. That's what berith speaks of. But in the New Testament, there's a slight difference, because you all remember that the New Testament and the Old Testament were written in two different languages. You remember that? Say yes, it means you forgot. Okay, good. Remember, there's Hebrew and Greek. You remember that? Okay, good. So that's why sometimes you have two different words, because of the languages and the context in which they were both written. So you have berith in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word is diathek. Say diathek. You don't go. That's D-I-A-H-E-K-E. That's the word in the New Testament that's used for covenant. And what does that mean? It means literally covenant. It means an arrangement. But what's the difference? In the New Testament, the word that takes stands for testament. Well, guess what? It also implies a will. I'm going to say will. You know that a will is stronger than a promise. And you know what a will means. It means that if somebody puts you in his or her will, it puts you or makes you one of the inheritors of whatever he or she has. Is that right? That's the word in the New Testament for covenant. Are you following?
Amen.
Now, it's important that as believers, especially in this day and season, that we begin to understand the depth of what is in the heart of God for us. So that the enemy does not threaten us. So the enemy does not scare us. So that the enemy does not make us feel that we are powerless because there's coronavirus or because there's this or because there's that. You are covered by the power of the covenant. You know, somebody say, I'm covered. Now just say, I know it. Say, I know it. I know it. I know it. I am covered by the power of the covenant. So it's important that we all understand how critical this is. Again, I said it will enhance our relationship. It will improve how we feel about ourselves and certainly how we pray. The next question is question number 4. With what is a covenant equated? When you look at the scripture uses certain things to explain to us what a covenant is. One of the obvious ones is what? Marriage. Everybody say marriage.
Marriage.
You already know that. You know, we talk about a marriage covenant. It's not a marriage contract. We live in a days and age where they now have contracts for marriage. They have what they call prenup. You all remember that? And prenup is, we are going to get married, but just in case we break up. So this is what you are going to get, and this is what I'm going to get. And so will include, well, whatever I have gotten before we marry, you don't have access to it. So that one is separate. But whatever we now make together, that's what we share. In the context of the Bible, that's not marriage. Okay. Can I say that again?
Yes, sir.
It is a business contract. You see, when you already make a, what do you call now? A proposal that includes possibility of breaking up. You are already creating a loophole that weakens that relationship. Because when there is anything happening, you go, well, afterwards we had a prenup anyway, so what am I doing here? So this is what I'm going to get when I leave. So how about I get it and get out? It says, so the world is making a mess of marriage. I don't know what we're talking about today, but the point is, marriage is one of those things that is equated with covenant in the scripture. And believers who are married, every single one of you both here in church and those of you online, you need to understand that when you get into a marriage relationship, you are getting into a covenant relationship. That's how the world expects it to be. Not the world, I say the word, which means the Bible. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You see, the scripture tells us, Malachi chapter 2, I read quickly from verse number 13, I'm reading from the Amplified. Here's what the scripture says. He said, this is another thing that you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, that is, with your own weeping and sighing, because the Lord no longer regards your offering or accept it with favor from your hand. What's the reason why? Verse number 14. But you say, why does it reject it? Why does the Lord reject our offering? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your marriage companion and the wife of your covenant, the one you made vows with. I just want all of you to make a note of that, everyone, that sometimes God will decide not to answer your prayer if you are messing up your marriage. Okay, I know you heard me. That's what the scripture says. See, the good thing about these people was that they were praying, and they knew they ought to get answers. You know, sometimes some of us pray, and I've said that over and over again here. Some of us pray and not expecting answers. We just pray as a tradition.
But these guys were praying, and were actually expecting God to answer them. So when God did not answer, they started to question. Why are you not answering us? What's wrong? What happened? Why are we not getting answered? So as a believer, when you pray, an answer is not coming. You need to ask. God said, the reason I'm not answering is because you're messing up in your marriage. Because your marriage works and is a covenant. Amen, somebody. Now, the other thing that marriage, excuse me, covenant is equated with is our spiritual heritage, our spiritual relationship. God said in Jeremiah chapter 31, quickly I'm reading from verse number 31, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant with the book, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. Did you get that? Amen. So God equates himself or puts himself when he has a relationship with us, like we do have in marriage. See, even though I was a husband to them, they were still messing around. Of course, you know, God is not man. So a spiritual relationship is equated to marriage relationship. So God values that very, very well. So friends, it's an invitation for us to up our relationship. It's an invitation for us to be more serious with our relationship. Because God is interested in continuous bond, improvement, support, and growth in the relationship. And in the name of Jesus, you will continue to grow your relationship. Amen. I say in Jesus' name, you will continue to grow your relationship. We live in the days and age that people will put other things over and above their relationship. Now, guys, very seriously, very quickly, number five, how were covenants enacted or cut? I use the word cut intentionally as a CBT. What I mean by this is, what did they do when they entered into covenant in the scripture? Number one thing that they did, or one of the ways they did, was that they exchanged things. You give me something, and I give you something back. That's one way that they proved or affirmed or sealed or cut a covenant. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 3 and 4, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. So when you enter into a covenant with somebody, you give something in exchange. That was part of how they did it back in the days of the Bible. Number two way they did it was that they built an altar. And you know, for us as believers, each one of us need a lively altar. Altar is a place where we go to meet with God one-on-one. A place of prayer, a place of connection, a place of communion, a place of communication. Every believer needs an altar. So in this day and age especially, you need a place where you always go back to and say, this is where God met me. This is where God spoke to me. I'm going to go back there again. And go back there again, and go back there again. I pray in the name of Jesus that your altar shall not be dead. I pray that there be fire on your altar. I pray that you have an altar, a place where you remember that you consummated a relationship with God. They did that in many, many passages, excuse me, in the scripture. Genesis chapter number 31, verse number 43 through 48. I'm not going to read through that. Just read it later on. I'm going to get on to the next one. Indicated when Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban, you know, broke, you know, whatever it was that was happening among them, they settled the issue and then they built a covenant. Number three, what they do or what they did in those days as a sign of covenant, they ate together. Everybody say they ate together. Say one more time. I love this one particularly because it happened once in the Old Testament and Jesus amplified it in the New Testament. Before I read this, I remember back when I was growing up, it was part of the culture then. I don't know if it's still there now. I really pray it's still there. Back in the days when I was growing up, when families had a fight, sometimes it gets really bad where they don't talk to each other for 3 months. When you see one person coming this way, you go the other way, even though we're families. And sometimes it goes longer. It can really be bad. What the good thing about the culture then, which we're losing regrettably now, is that we listen to the voice of the elders. When the elders find out what is going on, the elders of the village, they will gather together and say, bring that family here. And if the elders invite you, you better show up. So all the fighting family will show up. Sometimes it takes hours to try to settle the issue. And here's the thing. When the matter is over, they'll bring food. That's how they settle back in my village then. They bring food, not rice. They bring food. Okay? They'll put it in one dish and put the soup, you know, not the chicken water soup. That's not the, I mean, the real African good soup, you know. They'll put it in one place. Now, here's the rule. Everybody eats from that same place, but they'll give you a warning. If you have not truly forgiven, if you have not truly let this go, don't touch the food. Because they believe that if you eat that food and you have not truly forgiven, something bad will happen to you. So dear, you indicated whether what you said, you actually meant it. It's a scriptural practice. Go with me quickly with the scripture. Matthew chapter 26. I think I'd love for you to read this one with me as we're getting ready to wrap this up. Matthew 26. Can you put that up for me, please? I'm going to look from verse number 26 very quickly. Matthew 26. Those of you who are here can read this here online, of course, if you can follow. Let's go. He said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Next verse quickly. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. Next verse. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Remember the word, the attic? Right, testament or will. So when we do communion in church or do communion at home, we are saying that all fight is over. We're saying all dispute is over. We're saying there's no more separation. That we are all coming together to put a hand on the same bread and drink from the same wine. That's why it's a deadly thing for believers to share communion and still be angry with one another. That's why it is not good for believers to still be backbiting one another, the person you share communion with. It is a dangerous thing. That's why it's critical. The Bible says, before you take communion, make sure you examine yourself. Make sure that you don't just walk up to the altar and grab Whatever is presented there, because well, if I don't take now, they'll be looking at me. Hear me, friends. God sees what the men and the women cannot see. Amen. Communion is a serious
matter.
Jesus says, when you eat it, you are saying, all battles are over.
Hallelujah.
All struggles are over.
Hallelujah.
You are saying, I'm no longer in the camp of the enemy. What you see me do in church, that's what I do when nobody is there.
Hallelujah.
So that I don't take communion on the Sunday, and then on a Monday, I'm a different person. Then I show up in church next week, and I'm taking communion again. So we're talking about covenant, friends. So the eating together was one of the things they did, both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And we carry that on today. That brings us into a covenant relationship. So get ready to put this together. What else do they do? Excuse me. When they made a covenant in the days of the Bible. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 7 through 10, that was read to us this morning by my daughter. They caught a covenant. Nobody said they caught a covenant. That's the word, that's where it came from. Here's what it did. As you see in Genesis chapter 15, I'm only reading from verse number 7 quickly. He said, and he said unto him, I am the Lord who brought thee out of all of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, where shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Watch this now, verse 10. He says what? And he took them unto all this, and he divided them in the midst and laid them each one piece against the other. You know what I mean? He took the animals, each of them, he cut them in half, blown all over. Put one piece of the lamb here and put another piece of the lamb here. Cut the goat, blown all over. Put another one over here and put another one over here. Covenant in the New Testament, and you see here also in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, it was made with the blood of animals. In the New Testament, it is made with the blood of, talk to me somebody, the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Covenant includes blood.
Amen.
That's why you must be careful who you enter into a covenant with. I have prayed with people who enter into covenant because some young people say, do it. I don't know how many of you have heard, but I have, because cases have been brought to me where they've been taken to hospital, they've taken to different places, and there was no solution. And I began to ask, what happened? I said, well, you see, when I was in high school, you know, I had a friend who promised never to leave each other. And so they took a razor blade and cut each other and used their blood to forgive each other. Young people say, do it. And they thought it was a joke. Something happened over time and they broke up. And that thing began to haunt them. Wherever they go, doctors couldn't solve it.
Yeah.
So when they bring them and I interview and I find out that's where it works, you see, you have to help them enter into a higher covenant that is higher and stronger than the one that they enter into. It breaks down. Amen, somebody. So I want to say to you, friends, both of you in church and those of you online, be careful. Don't play around with blood.
That's right.
That's why this evil that's going around, people carrying guns around and shooting people, I think it's fun. It's not fun. The scripture tells us that when Cain killed Abel, the blood of Abel cried up to God. So somebody messing around with somebody's blood, I think he's going to get away. No, you cannot get away with it. So it's important, friends, that we understand the importance. Because the scripture says, life is in the blood.
Hallelujah.
Blood speaks.
Yes.
Say it again, everybody. Blood speaks. The blood of innocent child. The blood of people that were killed unjustly. Those blood speaks. And those people think they get away from the law, they won't get away from God. Unless to repent. Let's hand this up, let's go, so that we can get off for our next service. Now, how does this apply to me? I'm sure that's a question you should ask. Three things quickly. When I use an acronym here, or an acrostic, whichever you call it, it's all. Everybody say all. Say it again. That's A-L-L. Very quickly here. How do you take what you just hearing and apply it to yourself? Number one, accept. Everyone say accept.
Accept
the invitation to partake in the covenant. If you're not saved yet, this is a great opportunity for you. If you are saved and you are not in the place where you need to be in your relationship with God, God is asking you up that relationship. This is a time to let every distraction, every play, every gesture about your relationship with God go. And accept what God is giving you because it places you in a better place. Very quickly. Exodus chapter 19. Here's what it says beginning from verse number 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Verse number 5. I'd like you to read. Let's read that together quickly. Everybody go. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, watch it now. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my what? Say it again. And keep my what? And keep my covenant, and then you shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Tell me about this a special place for you in the heart of God. God says, if you accept my invitation, come up and take this thing seriously. I've made you a peculiar person. Oh, well, I got saved. Well, I read my Bible every now and then. No, friends, there is more that God can give you than what you are experiencing if you do what God wants you to do. So, number one, we will say accept. And number two is leave. As in L-E-A-V-E, leave. Amen? Leave all your old habits, the lesser covenants, the things that you're committing your time and energy to, leave them and come up higher. Hebrews chapter 8. I love this. You're going to read it with me, everybody. Hebrews 8, beginning from verse number 6. Let's do it together quickly. We'll get ready to wrap up. Let's go. But now, has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. I want to say better covenant. So whatever it is that you are holding on to now, if it is not where God wants you to be, God has something better for you. Come to somebody and say, God has something better for you. He said a better covenant which was established, guess what? On better promises. Next verse quickly. And here's what the Bible says. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then it should no place have been struck for the second. You understand what that is saying. In the Old Testament, remember I told you the word Berith and the word. Okay, you forgot. Okay, hear me, friends. He says, in that Old Testament, the covenant was made with animals. Remember, bring this goat, bring this chicken, bring this, bring that, bring that, bring that. The scripture said the reason why the New Testament was necessary was because it's better. Everybody says it's better. It's because it's stronger. Somebody says stronger. So hear me, friends. God is giving you a stronger, better opportunity. The things you have access to in the New Covenant that they could not have access to in the Old Testament. Finally, give me the last scripture for today. We're cutting a few things, but let's go. Let God. Let God. Let God. That's what we're talking about. I would say let God. Say it again. Say let God. Now, here's what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, very quickly, before we pray. 2 Chronicles 15, give me verse number 12. We'll read it together quickly, and we'll get into prayer. Everyone, read it now. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. Let's read that again. Let's read that again. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. Watch it. Watch that. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, See what it says? With all their hearts and with all their soul. So, friends, this is what God desires. Give me the next verse. The scripture says this, that whoever will not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. So I say, whoa, you know, I mean, that was how powerful, how strong they were about this. Anyone who will not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Here's where I'm going. What is the next for you? Pay close attention to the next verse. Give me the next verse. Are you all ready? And they swore to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and trumpets and with cornets. This is still the process. Now, what did God do in response to their wholehearted prayer and covenant? Thanks for answering. I mean, for asking. Let's find out the answer as we pray. Everybody, go. And all Judah rejoice at the boat. You see, the first thing that happens when you truly commit to God is what? True joy comes. Okay, what happens? For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was fond of them. Guess what? And the Lord gave them rest round about. Stand up, we're going to pray. And the Lord gave them rest. What is round about rest? It means that everything that was happening in your head, God took it over. Everything that was happening in your family, God took it over. Everything that was happening on the job, God took it over. All round rest means every time and every place you turn to, guess what? God says, I am here for you. You know why? Because you entered into a covenant with me with all your heart. Somebody pray now. Anybody want all-round rest? God take care of my finances. God take care of my health. God take care of my children. All those worries in my life. That's all-round rest. So that you don't have nothing to be concerned about. That is the benefit of a covenant. Somebody should be praying now. Even those of you online, sure you could be talking to God. Right now, begin to ask God for all round rest. Remember how you get it. You do it with all your heart. You do it with all your heart. Lord, I'm letting go of all old covenants. I'm releasing them to you right now. I'm entering into a fresh covenant with you. In the name of Jesus, I declare all my old covenants broken. Everything that's not necessary, that is taking my time, taking my energy, taking my attention. In the name of Jesus, I reject and I refuse it. Somebody pray now. In the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are the giver of all-round rest. I receive all-round rest from you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people, both those that are present in the house and those that are online, wherever they are located. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you are the God that gives us a covenant that has power to deliver. And then, Lord God Almighty, even in the face of coronavirus or other challenges, other needs, Lord God of heaven, the power of the covenant is stronger than all of those situations. So as your people, we enter into a covenant with you again today, like the people of the old, with all of our hearts. And we ask, Lord God, that you take over and dispossess all of the enemies to the glory and the honor and the excellence of your mighty name. We bless your name. We magnify you. We give you praise and we give you honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. And all of us will shout aloud, amen. Amen. Hope we ask together, bless you.